Yeah.
Boom.
Oh, hi.
Actually, I don't want to put on a buffer.
Buffer.
No buffer
needed. Do not use buffering. Do not use buffering. All right.
Buffer, buffer, buffer.
There's no buffer required here.
I started the recordings. Or at least on my end. Brian also hit the record button.
Yeah, I wasn't playing around.
Oh, wow. We've been recording for a while now?
No, just now.
What are we? Oh, all right.
Just now. So, I haven't got my drink skis yet, so enjoy, gentlemen, until I'm getting a mid-recording delivery. Does it actually taste like Coca-Cola?
A little, but not really.
Okay.
Remember that shit Soda Stream?
Yeah, never had one.
Yeah, okay. Not familiar.
It's kind of like that.
Tastes like that.
Or it's like
generic soda.
Yeah, the ghetto syrup flavor from anywhere.
Walmart soda.
Yeah.
RC Cola. It'd be like RD Cola.
Yeah, it's like
DR Cola.
Market Basket bottled cola.
Dr. Cola can't be Dr. Pepper or Dr.
Dr. Pip.
Dr. Mountain or whatever.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that. Or like those, remember those Necco candies?
Surgeon Salt instead of Dr. Pepper. that's good.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, where you just get the syrupy flavor, where it's not like full Coke. Mm-hmm. Where you take a Coke and leave it out for a couple days and then drink it.
Oh, so it's just like, so it tastes like a flat soda.
Yeah.
That's like my least favorite soda is the one where you've had the bottle for like 2 weeks and it's just, it's gone flat, but like.
You don't want any more of it.
You don't want, yeah, but like you still like, you'll,
you don't want to waste it either.
Yeah. You'll unscrew the cap and you'll still get a little out of it, but like it doesn't have any actual carbonation left.
You've basically taken the last of it to make the sound.
Yeah. And you're like, ugh. Yeah, yeah. And you're already disappointed because you know how it's going to taste. You're like, this is going to be disgusting.
You know from the pour, there's no more carbonation left.
Yeah. It's just like water and syrup and oil. And it's just like three layers.
Yeah. That's kind of how it is.
So I drink cans.
Yeah.
Just cans exclusively.
That's where it's at.
Just destroying our world one beverageino at a time.
Well, cans can actually be recycled.
That's true. That's true. So I'm being...
You're better off doing that than or glass and doing plastic.
Being eco-friendly.
Eco-friendly. I'll drink to that.
Yeah, the plastics companies lied to everybody and said that things were recyclable and they really weren't.
And then they just burn it all, so
yeah.
It kills my brain cells either way. Not like I had a lot to begin with.
And now we have tiny little plastics in our bloodstream that are going to give us all some sort of weird cancer.
Yeah.
Everything gives you cancer.
Yeah, but they knew it.
Yeah. All the cancer.
All the cancer.
But they knew it ahead of time, and they chose the monies.
Yeah, I mean, it's not their cancer that they're dealing with. It's ours.
Well, the cool part is it probably is there, too.
Yeah, they probably have it at this point, too. So.
You know, but they're rich, though, so I guess they can get the treatment.
Yeah. Like, I'm not here for a good time or a long time. I'm here for a good time, and I've got the money to do it with. So, yeah. All right. So we left off last time. With our
top five
men.
Wow, Will with the itinerary coming right back into play. Here.
I know, men's wrestlers.
Organized.
We're prepared, ready. Yeah, except for I didn't make a list. So I'm doing this off the cuff again.
I saw my list written from last time. So.
And we started talking about it. And then we...
Camera failed.
Camera ran out of battery, so we just were like, all right, let's put this off to the next episode. And here we are, Dr. Dre, next episode. So
to the next episode.
So we started last time with honorable mentions.
Yep.
And if I remember properly, my honorable mention was Murder Grandpa himself,
Minoru Suzuki.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I loved following his U.S. tour last year. You know, from his appearances in AEW to his appearances in California and doing stuff for New Japan, showing up in Impact and everywhere he possibly could. You know, while Japan wasn't allowing crowds, it was awesome. Like, just reading stuff about his experience here, like how he was shocked the crowds liked
him already. was afraid that it wasn't going to have the same effect that it would in Japan.
Well, he was blown back about one, the crowds knew who he was,
mm-hmm.
and two, loved him.
Yeah.
And, like, were chanting his song.
Yeah.
The whole entrance theme fiasco. Yeah, the Suzuki incident was great.
Yep. And so I just loved every bit of that because... The guy deserves to have that kind of recognition, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for the U.S. fans who don't necessarily follow New Japan, to still kind of follow along with those who do.
Yeah.
I think it was great that they kind of, everyone took a step back and said, oh, let's recognize excellence when we see it.
Guy's been around for, what, 30 years, something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if not longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably been wrestling since his teens.
Yeah, and he's 50, 60, yep. Something like that.
Since his mid-50s.
Nuts.
Yep. And it wasn't bad matches either. Like, it was one of those things where it's, like, great matches that he had. Like, it wasn't just, like, throwaway, like, six-man tags and he's showing up and he's, like, shows up to fight Moxley, you know?
Yeah, here's a name. Let's put him in a tag team.
Yep. Exactly. So, like, the people he fought against was part of the highlight of having him here. And also kind of having that continuity, having him show up here with Lance Archer and kind of talking about, like, oh, you know, these factions in New Japan still matter to AEW. In the sense that we're at least going to bring them up. They might not necessarily be storyline-based, but that kind of led to more stuff with Chaos and kind of
the best friends.
More talk about the Forbidden Door and opens the door to do more stuff in the future, which can be a canon for both New Japan and AEW.
Yeah, especially since they both recognize each other.
Yep.
Because the was it New Japan United States title that they had defended on the show itself?
Yep. Yeah, so the U.S. title was defended on AEW. You know, and I believe the did Mox bring the AEW belt over there at one point?
Yeah, I think so.
While he was champ, you know, to have a match. I believe that's the case as well. But you know, just seeing that kind of, you know, you're checking off the wish list. Suzuki's on that wish list, and I'm happy to see it go through. You know, I'll have to see more people come through, but they've been alluded to. But you know, I think AEW knows how to do long term booking and build up to appearances.
Oh yeah, big time.
We'll see more of that.
I got my beers.
Beers and the dog.
And the mascot.
Beers and a dog.
Tessie's like, where am I?
Tessie is a girl. All right. Did you have any other honorable mentions?
That was the only one I have listed as honorable.
Okay.
What about dishonorable mentions?
Ooh, dishonorable mentions.
I hate your face.
You know, my mom says you can't say anything nice about somebody. Don't say it at all.
The player haters ball.
No, I'm just kidding. I could go on a rant about some people.
Oh, but she left the dookie.
Oh, my God.
Well, you picked her up. That's why.
Yeah, that's true. Oh.
Squeezed it out.
Yeah. I can just smell it radiating.
Yeah.
Boom, ba, ba, sure. Bam, ba, bam. As we do things on camera.
Yeah, we're recording all of this. It's going to be great to go through and, you know, pick up dog shit.
I'd say leave it.
I mean, we could.
It serves the people.
Yeah.
You got to give the people what they want.
Speaking of dog shit, if we're talking about dishonorable, who would you say has had a bad year?
Well, I haven't really watched Raw or SmackDown.
I mean, we could just say... Who's the con over there? Nick Khan?
Yeah, Nick Khan.
Nick Khan has had a kind of dishonorable year.
Yeah.
Just letting go of all these talent.
And, everybody.
Kind of prepping WWE for sale and then not selling it.
And then still releasing.
And still releasing a lot of people. You know, and to this day, they're still making changes that don't really need to be made. Like changing Walter's name.
Oh, I was going to bring that up. Speaking of dog shit. Yeah. That's dog shit.
Oh my God, man.
Gunther.
Like, Gunther. There needs to be like a billion Adventure Time memes now. They've turned Walter, who is just a slab of meat, just going to like slap you in the chest, into the Penguin Helper from Adventure Time.
Gunther.
Gunther, come here.
That's dog shit.
Oh, Gunther.
Horrible.
So I would say, yeah, Nick Khan gets my dishonorable for the year. just and for a guy that doesn't like stand in front of the camera or do anything like in front, like that's
the wrong Khan died.
Doesn't do a whole lot of engagement with the public. Yeah. You know, I think that you need to, like, if you're going to do what he's done over the last year, you kind of have to be that guy that's like, nobody's going to speak to you. You're not going to be talking to the public because it's tough to answer for that sort of shit. You know?
Yeah.
No blames.
So yeah, dishonorable was Nick Kahn.
I can give you that. Yeah. I can give you that.
Brian?
My honoree blaze was the Christian Cage coming back from a crazy concussions and all that fun stuff and not being cleared and then making the little surprise entrance in the Royal Rumble.
Yep, being in great shape at his age.
Great shape. And then leaving and going to AEWs and actually still wrestling and winning some championships.
Some championships.
Yeah.
Won the Impact title.
Won the Impact title.
From one Kenneth Omega.
Yes. And then defended that for a while.
Yep.
And
then lost it. Yeah, what a noob.
You know.
No, I'm just kidding.
So the Josh Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's just kind of the...
Now we're just waiting for him to turn on Jurassic Express.
The, the head honcho of the Jurassic Express, where I don't know where Marco Stunt is. Is he hurt or is he just...
He's trying out for the voice.
Oh.
Yeah. So, rumor has it that he is not going to have his...
Contract renewed
because he was one. I think he was one of those like original two or three year contracts or whatever.
He was indeed.
Yeah,
they haven't really spoken to his status, but right now he is trying out for the View for the voice.
I knew he got
the View. The View. Him and his fucking Rosie O'Donnell or whatever the fuck it is.
I would watch that episode, man.
I know he got hurt. He did something to his shoulder, or whatever, a while ago.
Yeah, he was out for a bit and. He was on Jericho Cruise, but he's just singing.
Yeah,
so I guess a lot of his singing stuff kind of took off with wrestling fans there, and so he kind of wants to explore that.
Okay.
And we'll see where that goes. I guess if he shows up on The Voice, it's good placement for AEW if he's still signed.
you know? 100%.
They can still talk about AEW. And,
I'm sure with the Jericho Cruise, he may pop in on that and do a little...
I don't mind like if they sign Marco back. I've never had a problem with Marco Stunt being on AEW. You just kind of have to understand what he is and what he's capable of and what he can do, and book him properly.
I think I think that's just a general understanding that is kind of an issue with this generation. And I'll be the first to say it, that just like everybody kind of expects that like, oh. Well, when is it my turn to be a star? And it's just like, dude, like, there's only so many places at the top, and while that might cycle here and there, the guys who are typically at the top, they're there for a reason, and it's because they're the best of the best.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean there's not a place for every other person.
It doesn't mean you're dog shit.
Yeah. It just means like, hey, there's just some people who have it, and some people you can build a company around. And there's other people who are, play their part. And to me, it's just like, if you're getting paid at the end of the day and you're still doing something you really like.
Yeah, I don't think I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I don't think if you talk to someone like Marco, that they'd expect to be like a world champion anytime soon.
No, but there's definitely people on some rosters. I'm not going to name names or anything. Who you almost get that air of. Like, oh, why is this person getting these opportunities and I'm not, or these bookings and I'm not, or whatever. And it's just like, well, this person differentiates themselves.
This person fills this spot right now for this moment.
So that's definitely one of the things that,
they ooze charisma.
Oh, yeah. So.
And then another honorable mention I had, speaking of just oozing things. Is the Dante Martin.
Ooh, Dante Martin.
Mm.
With his brother getting hurt, he took the brass ring, as you would say, and shot for the stars.
I think Dante has a lot of physical talent. He's really good at working on the mic skills, though.
Yeah.
And I think they've done well in kind of pairing him with Leo Rush and
people
that are confident on the mic. It hasn't always worked out well. I think the feud with... Team Taz should have been like they should have had him with Team Taz for maybe 2 weeks longer.
Yeah, not a one off.
Maybe had him actually have a few matches with Team Taz and see him like kind of start to get along with them in the sense that like it wasn't just like, oh, hey, a week, I'm turning on you now. You know,
show up 1 week and then
they kind of put that one on speed and it was like you could have slow burned that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, seeing how it went. It was just like it was very much a, hey, I'm going to go do this, and then next week, fuck them over. Like, if they had had him do that for like a month and it just doesn't, like he doesn't show any emotion or anything, but immediately does it, then like, okay.
Well, yeah. And then that was kind of the, but the payoff for it was is that for the most part, it looked like he was being led around like a puppy and all of a sudden he was like making his own choices. And then all of a sudden it's like, nope, Leo and I had this plan the entire time. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, because it happened the week before.
But now he's back to being led around like a puppy, basically just doing whatever Leo told him to do.
Yeah.
You know?
And is he the younger of the two Martins, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the other one's, I think, is a year or 2 years older.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we'll see when they get back to this top flight, you know, where they fit into the tag team mix-up and, you know, if they keep them together or...
Separate them.
Just to try to separate up them for a little bit. I would like to see them get back together, you know.
No, I would too. But I did enjoy the...
But absolutely, like, great matches.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dude is, up there with Phoenix in terms of, like, what he can do in the ring.
Oh, 100%.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes he does...
And he's only, what, 22 or something like that? Just insane.
He might get too excited sometimes, it seems like, when he tries to do things and overdoes them a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'll get that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100% experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You, William?
So, my honorable mention probably... I'm going to do two here. I'm going to say Miro.
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 Just because I like his change.
Redeemer's gimmick.
Yeah, I like the Redeemer gimmick. I think he's done, not to say like a 180, but I think that character suits him a lot more than the best man or whatever it was. Yeah. It was I get it.
That was kind of like, I've signed, we need to get him on television.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, whereas this Redeemer gimmick, it's more in line with what he's done in the past, but it is more... more believable. I don't even want to say believable because he's a streamer. Like, he does all the streaming and stuff on the side, or he did. I don't know if he still does.
I think that was the thing with the best man, that like when he got into AEW, it was like, oh, you kind of be yourself here. Let me do a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Instead of being a character, he was kind of being like a version of himself, is being a little bit meaner, obviously. But,
yeah. Like slice of life, Miro.
Yeah.
But now, I do like that. I don't know if he's been out in back and forth because he's been injured or whatever. I know people, like in kayfabe, his neck is his weak point, but I don't know if that's actually...
I know before the rumor was, I don't know if it's real or not, when they brought him back to substitute for Moxley in the tournament, they said he was dealing with a hamstring issue.
Oh, okay. I mean, those don't go away easily, and they're really easy to re-agitate and set back to the beginning. So if that's it, then that makes sense. I like where it's going. I like where he's been. If his wife ever wants to get back into the wrestling industry and wants to be his manager or something again, I see them, you know, ways they could build
They've already seated her plenty of times in terms of
he
just doesn't, he'll bring it up every time he's in the mic.
Yeah, he says my wife, I want him to win a title and just give it back.
Yeah. It's like, I don't need this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should have done that the first time he won the TNT title. Was
just give it back.
Just be like, I'm not here for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other honorable mention being the former NXT champion, Tommaso Ciampa.
Boston boy.
Now that his reign's over, he's already been brought up to... the main roster, the main event of main roster.
Yeah, he's doing main event.
He even dyed his beard.
Yeah.
With the Pete Dunne.
Yeah, Pete Dunne, him, T-Bar, we're all on, I think. So I need to go and find that because I actually, it's supposed to be a good match.
I heard it was great, especially Ciampa was in New England independent wrestling for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Tommaso Whitney.
Yep.
And T-Bar, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
As Dijax up here. Or he might have had a longer name. It might have been by Djokovic then, but...
Donovan Dijak.
Yeah,
he was... On the indies, and then...
T-Bar.
And then... No, then when they brought him into NXT,
Dijak.
It was Donovan Dijokovic. They extended it, because why would they... like? Make why would you longer? Make it longer? Yeah.
But no, both those
because
guys
he is foreign and the enemy.
Yeah.
you know, both kind of New England.
Vince is still running Cold War booking.
Yeah.
Both New England guys that I've seen on multiple occasions. And it's always nice to see the New England guys lock up.
See how far they've come.
Big indie roots.
Yeah. So I don't, yeah, so those are my two. Dishonorable mention. Jim Cornette. Fuck him. Just fuck him.
Yeah. <I don't> know. I'm okay with that.
Good old Cornette.
So, number five, Dano.
The Mad King himself.
Ooh.
Mr. Edward Kingston.
Yep.
Ed Kingston just is a delight every time he's on television. He has not really, like, between the stuff with Moxley and the storylines, they haven't really had a consistent storyline for him apart from him just not being able to win the big match. And him constantly just not giving up in those big matches, though, and just being knocked out.
It's just being, like, pissed off Uncle Eddie, I feel like. It's
flipping
like,
off.
But what's funny is, like, Eddie has that kind of just perfect mic skill and talent where no matter who he's working with, he makes you care about the match if there's only a weak buildup. Like, he'll have that one promo. It's like, oh, I want to see this now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'll find a way to do it. Doesn't matter who he's paired with. You know, the stuff with Punk was great. The stuff with Daniel Bryan was great.
Makes the 2.0, I guess, look real good.
Makes 2.0 look good. Feuding with Danny Garcia. It makes sense. The stuff with Jericho, not so much, but I don't mind seeing that match too, and I'm sure that there'll be
Sure that match will be great.
I'm sure there will be a good promo that will make me care about it before it happens.
Yeah, he's definitely my favorite face tweener promo in the company right now.
I like that they've already kind of alluded to Proud and Powerful getting back with him.
Yeah.
And him basically saying, like, oh, the reason why you don't have the title is because you were with Jericho the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, and that'll be a fun way to kind of split their loyalties, I guess.
Yeah. Anybody else think that the Inner Circle should have disbanded a little bit ago?
Well, they won. They got the faction of the year, but I do think that they've kind of run their course.
Yeah. Like, it's just.
I think they know they've run their course. Yeah. Sammy doesn't even show up with them anymore.
Yeah. From what I was kind of reading, you know, back to the dirt sheets kind of thing.
Yeah.
They didn't want to break them up. They wanted them just to kind of like
go their own ways for a little bit.
Yeah, go their own ways. Because, you know, all the factions that you see always break up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where, you know, they had all the...
They start interfering.
Yeah. Whereas they wanted them to be different and kind of just let them go.
That way they can bring them back whenever they want.
Yeah, if they need to, they could just bring them back. Not be like, oh, no, now we have to create a whole new storyline.
Yep.
You know, make them friends again. Whereas now they could just be like, oh, yeah, we never broke up, but I still got your back kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But dirt sheets.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, and that's kind of the way they've executed it so far. It's like they'll have Jericho just show up, and he'll show up and try to help, you know, Santana Ortiz.
Be there for Sammy.
But now I'm just like, no, that's my role now.
Yeah.
You know? But Eddie had a awesome year. Just constantly getting in the match and being in over his head and just kind of making a show of it. And I loved every moment of it. So
no, I enjoyed it. I enjoy it. Kind of hoping for that Moxley Kingston faction of just badasses and do what they want and leave.
Yep.
Yeah.
My number five would be the Miro.
Miro.
Now, touching back on what you had said, love the Redeemer. I wish I kind of saw more of it. I hope the hamstring wasn't the real issue, or was the real issue, and not because they just didn't have anything for him. I'm still hoping that he wins some random title, whether it's a tag title with somebody, the TNT or the world, or even goes to some other promotion and wins it as the Redeemer and just gives it back.
Yeah, whether it's Impact or New Japan or whatever.
Whoever they're working with, he just wins some title and gives it back because he doesn't think God appreciates it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That'd be funny. Well, not funny, but
in character. In character, it'd be hilarious. Yeah. He still looks great after not working for a year or so.
Well, he's in better shape now than he was in WWE.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. No, totally. I agree with you right there. My number five, I'm going to go with Bryan Danielson.
The American Dragon.
The American Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably, I mean, like, everything that he's done in AEW so far has been great. Even, like, I mean, leading up to, you know, like, he's a great, just great wrestler. The series that he had against just picking apart every member of the Dark Order before going after Hangman. Great. Like,
yep.
It's fun. It's great.
And, like, the whole whoever he was going off in Dark Order was whatever the next town was that they were
yeah,
in, which made
yeah.
it even better.
Yeah. Still want to see him versus Kenny again.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Just because I think, like, a fully healthy Kenny Omega and him could be, you know,
yeah,
10 stars match of the decade.
The card type. Itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they could, the two of them could go 90 minutes and,
yeah,
and you would still
yeah.
want more.
You'd, yeah. You would,
yeah. The whole Dynamite, just them, just,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's my number five. And I just, the fact that he was only in AEW for the last couple of months
four months.
Yeah. And I can't remember his last, matches in WWE. So I can't.
They weren't bad. It was WrestleMania was with Edge and Roman.
Was that what it was? Yeah. It a three way?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember watching WrestleMania, but I don't remember that.
Yeah,
oh, you know,
that was actually one I do remember.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It was two nights, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's why. I watched the night with Bad Bunny.
Yep.
Because that match was surprisingly good. So, yeah, but I mean, I think just time in, you know, my favorite promotion is probably why he ranks so low on that top.
Oh, 100%, because he disappeared after WrestleMania, didn't really have anything, and then randomly shows up at AEW as the baby face, you know,
yep.
giant pop, and then a month later, heelskis.
Yep.
Heel-ish.
Yeah, I would say they haven't really gone, like, full heel with him.
Not full. But
it's heel enough when he's doing after the guys in Dark Order, you know, trying to hurt people.
In their own hometown?
Yep.
Kicking their teeth in?
Mm-hmm.
Literally?
So my number four is a tie.
Ooh, I like ties. Does that mean you have no three, or does that mean you have...
Oh, no, that means I have a three and a two
okay,
and a one.
Okay, okay.
I could not choose one of these two.
Without the other, but
I could not take one of these two off my top five.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
And I didn't want to split one down my honorable mention just because I don't watch it as frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, my number four is Hangman Adam Page.
Mm-hmm.
Just having the final culmination of his arc and winning the title.
Yeah.
And, you know, being able to have some great matches along the way doing so. You know, the whole arc with the Dark Order paying off and him not necessarily joining, but just being friends, and that's okay. But kind of overcoming adversity and getting that respect back, I think, from his friends, the Bucks and Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're not, like,
friends.
The elite. Just the nod of the Bucks coming down and being like, yep, you got this one. You know, that was good. And the stuff with, you know, Bryan Danielson's been great, too. So,
100%. Know,
I love their match in the sense that if you go back and watch it, Hangman gets out of every single thing that Danielson used to beat the Dark Order. All the finishes that he used in the Dark Order, Hangman gets out of all of them.
Yeah.
And so basically Danielson threw the entire book at him and then didn't have the stamina to keep going.
Yeah.
So it was the opposite of the other match where they both just kind of tired out. So I love that. And he's tied with Roman Reigns because I feel like Roman had a great year. He actually does feel like a monster now. And for the one thing he doesn't, for years he felt like WWE was shoving this is our guy.
Yeah.
Now he is the guy and he actually feels like he should be.
Yeah.
That the heel turn saved him.
Yeah. And you know, the heel turn saved him and he feels impressive now. I don't mind him on the mic as much. It's good to have the stuff with Heyman.
Well, that and the 500 plus day reign now. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's solidified him as like the guy.
Yeah. But you'd think that could easily go the other direction
mm-hmm.
and have it be like, God, please stop. Stop this.
Yeah.
Like, cause it was like that for a while.
Oh no, it was, but they never let it last that long.
Yeah.
When it wasn't working. So
and he made it work. Yeah. So it's one of those, like, props to him for making it work. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to penalize him just because I don't watch WWE for much. You know?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have much on WWE. I only know just little things that I read. Mm-hmm. I don't really watch it.
I'll catch up, like, on clips and watch certain matches. Like, I follow WWE wrestlers. I don't follow, like, the storylines.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But Reigns is one of those ones that I'll follow the matches now every now and then. Because, like, if he's got a storyline going, you know, with a wrestler that I like, I'll watch it. Or if it's just something that I feel is interesting, I'll watch it. But, like, I'll turn into a match with, like, Shinsuke or turn into a match with Cesaro. Or, you know, I'll try to find the ones I like.
Well, yeah. You can never go wrong with it. Shinsuke or Cesaro anyway.
Yeah. No. Oh, you can. like, give him 2 minutes for a match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's not their fault.
Yeah. Or AJ Nakamura at WrestleMania. Yeah. You're like... Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, but like that's the thing about WWE, though, is I'll pick and choose what I want to watch, so just watching the whole show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. My four is The American Dragon.
There you go.
For the same reasons that, you know, you had mentioned. Might have been a little higher if, you know, you didn't have that wait time, but you came in at the right time. And... can never go wrong with Daniel Bryan. Plus, they gave him 2 or 3 draws, whereas they only had, what, 1, maybe 2 draws in their entire run as a company.
They gave him 2 draws almost right off
and
the bat.
And they gave Bryan the 2 draws that ties their entire run of, you know, draws in the company, which is, you know, a big feature. You know, it speaks on Bryan himself and...
Yeah, and I think it's good long-term storytelling, too, because then when... I think they knew that Kenny was going to take time off after he dropped the title to Hangman.
Yeah, recover.
So, yeah, so, like, I think they were like, okay, this is going to be unfinished business, so, like, let's...
do a draw.
Yeah, like, this could be the main event of All Out in, you know, 9 months, but...
And plus, a draw doesn't really hurt... either no. guy in the ring.
No. That's the whole idea is that you're not taking turn. You're not tarnishing one person's reputation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Killing someone's push.
Especially if they come back and have a completely different style of match the next time. Like the thing that I was worried about with like Hangman Danielson, the second one, is that it was going to be
the same as the first
where it goes to the 60 minutes
and there's then, just an end to be an end.
Well, the 60 minutes this time they were going to do the judges and then they kind of flipped you for the script and like they barely made it, you know, into maybe the third, like I think
25.
I thought it was like 36 or something. Like it was
36.
Yeah,
it was like 35 minutes.
Yeah, it was not nearly as long as the other one was and like they both bled. They both like it was much more of a
it was a fast-paced match.
Yeah, and like a beat-down, you know, not...
Yeah, they put their 60 minutes into 30.
Yeah, yeah. So I liked seeing that change, and it'll be interesting then when Kenny comes back.
Cherry's way better, by the way.
Cherry's way better? Well, it's Cherry Coke, so...
Yeah, it actually tastes like Cherry Coke, whereas that one says Classic Coke, which may be why like it's just flat. Like syrup.
We can't really do Classic Coke because...
Yeah. Sugar?
Flat caramel soda.
But no, Cherry Cola is way better. Cool. By the way,
cool.
Yeah. I'm still drinking my Dirty Mayors.
The peppers.
Yeah. So like that. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for me. My number four. I'm gonna go Adam Cole.
Boom.
I was gonna say bay, but yeah. and just cause I mean, like, I just
he's been fun.
He's been great. You can tell that. I mean, like, even in NXT, like, he was still putting on great matches in NXT this year.
100%. And he re-signed on to finish.
Yeah, like, that's just the mark of a good, you know, professional kind of person.
Yeah, I think it was very much a, I don't want to burn bridges kind of leaving for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's great now to see, like, with that AEW is still at least, while it's not completely, you know, like, 100%, you know, continuity, that they're at least acknowledging that, like, you know, like, Bobby and Adam are friends. Kyle and Adam are friends, but they've been on a rocky path recently. Yeah. Like, you know, so, like, and there's a
and
history
it's the
between.
Only time, so the commentators, so it would be Excalibur and Shivani there.
Tony. Yeah.
Where they don't say WWE in any mention. They just say in a previous company.
Yeah.
Whereas the only people who we really hear about mention anything about WWE is Punk, MJF, and Jericho.
Yeah.
That's it. Everybody else is a slow, like, oh, in another company type of thing. But they'll mention ROH. Well, so
they recently had issues or, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, they've been, you know, allies and rivals everywhere that
they've 100%.
Wrestled. So,
as you know, most wrestlers that have been around long enough will do.
Yeah. And I legitimately think that he could be this generation. He basically is
Shawn Michaels.
This generation's HBK. Like, he's fantastic. He doesn't put on a bad match, and his facial expressions throughout, like,
his reactions are great.
He can tell an entire story with just his face. Like, if somebody was just like, here, just watch his face the entire match, and they blocked off everything else, you could probably figure out how the match was going the entire
100%,
time.
100%.
So, yeah, my number four.
Yep.
Yeah. Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like it.
I dig it.
All right, Dano.
Dig it like holes.
Number Trace.
That's clobbering time. CM Punk.
Ooh.
Okay.
Punky.
Punky Brewster.
Probably the biggest event in wrestling was his debut at AEW over the last, you know, 5 years. You know, but maybe AEW's debut would be the biggest impact. But this is, I think people are going to remember that moment for years.
Yeah. Like, I legitimately think the only bigger thing that could happen in wrestling at this point is if you had, like, The Rock show up in AEW or
go on a run.
Yeah, and go on a run. Or if Stone Cold came back and went on a run. Yeah. Or if Cena came to aid. Like, there's
if Cena
showed
up at AEW, that would be similar.
Like, those three things are like the only thing that I could think of potentially being bigger than that.
So it was a huge impact, and he's been a lot of fun since he's been there. You know, you got a lot of criticism for the booking, you know, right away because he was going up against young guys. Because that's who he wanted to fight.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he just was like, yeah, let me fight the young talent and put him over.
Well, his story coming back, too, it was really. It was, do I still have it?
Yeah.
Can I still go? Like, you know, you get, like, I think I'm still good. Am I though?
Yeah.
And you know,
as I brought it earlier, the feud with the small feud he had with Eddie was great in the sense where, like, they started going back into, you know, Punk's old time in the indies and old school ROH. And basically Eddie just saying like, look, you looked down at me at the time. He's like, yeah, you're absolutely right. I did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
In that kind of callous, brash, best in the world attitude coming back instead of just like the I'm the best in the world,
but because, not going as but like working with somebody like Eddie, but not going as far as to be a heel, but being the heel in the scenario, being like, yeah, we did look down on you because this is why, and like being relatable
you were so talented, you still are, but you've just never got taken that extra step.
And then moving on to MJF, I mean, and what was it? 30-minute promo between the two of them.
Oh, just going back and forth.
Going back and forth. You know, if MJF actually had matches, I would put him on the list just for that.
Yeah,
it's his promos.
Yeah, I mean, the real reason why MJF isn't in my top five is because he doesn't have the matches.
Mm-hmm.
But he had 8 last year, I think. That was it.
But man, like, that was like just a text. Like, people who love wrestling to just watch that and be like, this is how you use a mic. This is how you go back and forth. This is how you build a feud.
And all his matches were almost all pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Or, like, not pay-per-views, but they're, like,
The big shows.
The big shows, yeah. So, like, Fighter Fest, even though it's
they're
not...
They're booking him right.
Oh, 100%.
But it's one of those things where, like...
I want him on my list, but he's not there.
I can't give him, a best wrestler top five because he's not wrestling as frequently. And, and to be honest, when those matches are there, they've been good, but they haven't been great. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's been one of those things where, like, but for Punk, they've been great matches. You know, just fun to watch every week. And I kind of want to see what happens after MJF because they're either going to have to either have him go a little bit more of a heel nature or have something else happen.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think they put him in the TNT or the main title?
Oh, I put him in the main title. I would have him go with Hangman.
Punk,
I would have him. Punk's first loss should be to Hangman, like your first big loss.
Yep.
Well, all right. My Trace, actually, is going back to your Quattro.
Mm-hmm.
Is Adam Cole himself?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, same reasons almost.
Mm-hmm.
you know, started off, you know, NXT, went out with a bang or a boom. And, you know, signed back on to finish the whole thing with O'Reilly and that whole scenario. And then, you know, show up at the same time as Daniel Bryan and still, you know.
You see, I agree with you guys with Adam Cole, but I think they're only about 40% done with his arc right now.
Yeah. So they haven't even touched his arc yet.
And my placing him where I placed him is because, like, yes, whereas he is, like, a longtime favorite of mine, he just is now, like, there are so many more feuds, and he's so young, and he's going to have such a long time at the top. Like,
you do what you can on the bottom.
Yeah.
They're obviously going to be staging that to be a big feud with Kenny when he comes back.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch. But I, the reason why he's not on my top five is just that. It's because I think it's too early. But
I
think he had a great year.
Oh, he did.
Going from one show at the top and then coming to another show at the top. And
going from one iconic theme to another.
100%.
Yeah.
And also competing the same day with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
They both came in the same exact day, same exact
literally
time.
The same exact, like within 90 seconds of one another.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, they both debuted.
They both got pops.
They both got massive pops, and I just think he's had more of a showing than Bryan, which is why I have him a little higher.
He's been in more matches, definitely, but just through the nature of the storyline he's in, they're all tag matches, so it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's had a couple good solo matches, but, you know, he's been, you know, fighting Jungle Boy, you know.
Yeah.
And not to say that Jungle Boy is, you know, low tier, but he's just now getting established. So, like, to have him go up against, like, that group, you know, they're going to give him, again, the only reason why he's not on my list is because I just think they're just very early
slow
on.
Slow arc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In what they're going to do with him. I think he'll definitely be on my top five next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it my number three now?
Trace.
My Trace. Okay. This one's going to be a bit controversial, but I think it's just the nature of the beast incarnate, not Brock Lesnar. But no, and just this is going to strike up controversy anywhere, but Cody Rhodes.
Something, Cody Rhodes.
So, I don't hate it.
I just think and this is maybe, like, not just wrestling, but just his career in general in branching out into, like, his reality show and the Go Big show or whatever.
Yep.
And then, like, now the multiple TNT, you know, championships.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's going to come back and have this probably interim program against Sammy again.
Oh, he's going to come back?
Today?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's official.
Willy won't he? I'm like, yeah.
The internet's funny.
Yeah, the internet is really funny at times. I'm just like, come on, guys.
Oh, wait, does that mean he's not going to show up in the Rumble?
to be honest.
With the title?
Yeah, I mean, like.
If anybody could talk Vince into it, it might be a Rhodes.
It might be a Rhodes. It might be Hunter going to Vince going, you owe me a favor because you butchered NXT. And I mean, no, I'm just kidding. But I just think he's such.
Or it could just be calling old favors from dad.
Yeah.
Just be like, look, Dusty still has one or two things he told me about you.
Yeah.
Hey, remember that name you wanted to use for your pay per view? I'll trade you.
Yeah.
Yep.
He is the most loved or hated figure in professional wrestling, depending on who you are. And I love it. He is the definition of. There's no such thing as, like, bad PR. Like, you know, like, any press is good press.
The mystery of Cody Rhodes of what is kayfabe, what is not.
Exactly. Like, he is the perfect blend of, I'll never, like, because, like, even, like, him being like, okay, I got rid of my Twitter. It's now the AEW outreach thing. It's like, okay, is that, like, are you really doing that to be, like, a nice guy? and you don't want to do that? Or are you doing this as this kind of like fall on my sword for the, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so like, I don't know. And it just, I like his matches. I like, he's a great storyteller. While some of the reasons why, like the motivations between some of his feuds don't always make sense or are kind of, you know, left field, cough, cough, Shaq, but like, they're always entertaining and rarely rarely do they miss. Like when they miss, they sometimes miss hard, like the whole Anthony Ogogo feud, but like,
yeah, but even they'll admit that.
Yeah. Like he, you know, they'll be like, oh no, it's fine. I fucked up. It didn't go the way we wanted it to. So, yep. Yeah. So that's me. That's my number three.
No, I'm with you on that one. Yep. It didn't make my top five, but I think it's just because I'm still waiting to see what's kayfabe, what isn't with him.
Yeah.
You know, see how it plays out.
Yeah.
So, but because you're absolutely right. It's like he's very polarizing. If it's all work, it's the man's a genius. If it's not all work, he's still kind of a genius because he's still playing it that way.
Yeah.
So I agree.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. Go big, show.
Go big, comma, show.
Number two.
Yep.
Bryan Danielson. So okay. You guys all had him earlier. I valued those matches more, I guess. I think they were.
Yeah.
I really dug deep into his match with Kenny and into his match with Hangman, and man, they're just some of the best wrestling you can watch.
Yeah, no, it really is from like a wrestling perspective, just like fantastic, fantastic matches. I think the thing for me is just because
I love how much he's enjoying himself too.
Yeah,
like you can't not see him just like smiling at the ring, even as like
100%,
even as him being a heel, he's just enjoying himself smiling. Much.
Yeah. Like. The thing is like, yeah, there's not necessarily, because he hasn't wrestled a lot of these guys in like a decade, you know,
or at all,
like the storyline isn't necessarily there or as tight as it might be from like a, you know, Malakai Black coming in after only being on a 30-day contract, you know, non-compete or whatever, or
it's crazy,
or the whole Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Bobby Fish thing, or, you know, like, there's so much that, like...
Did they announce their actual name yet?
No. I've seen rumors...
It's like Paradigm.
I've seen rumors
Paradigm of Paradigm. One of them.
I thought it was Paragon. Yeah.
Paragon might be one of them.
Yeah.
That wouldn't shock me based off of Cole's video game.
Yeah. But, like, if they... I mean, right now, it's just
Red Dragon
and Adam Cole, like... Yep.
Which it can be. I don't know, like, everybody needs to have these ridiculous names.
No. Like, I mean, like, if it's a faction, then, like, yeah, but, like...
But Cole, like, the storyline right now is Cole's trying to keep it a big faction with the Bucks.
Yeah, yeah.
So he doesn't really need a separate name for him and Red Dragon.
No.
You know?
No. But, yeah.
As of right now, anyway.
As of right now. Just the Undisputed Elite.
Yep.
Boom.
Just the Boom Boys.
The Boom Boys.
The Boom Boys. The Budge Boys.
The Budge Boys.
just to say, you know, I've had a lot of fun watching his matches. Mm-hmm. I think that his match with Kenny is up there for match of the year. You can't not be on my top five with that.
My dose. That's where we're at, right? Dose?
Dose.
Is the cowboy shit. The Hangman's.
The Hangman's.
Adam Page. Love the entire year of just story of the fall of Hangman to I understand what's going on. Now I'm, you know, friends with the Dark Order.
3-year wrestling arc.
Mm-hmm.
3-year wrestling arc.
Now he's the world champs.
Yep.
Yeah. And yeah.
Where do you go from here?
His whole thing of basically being like, you get kicked down, you got to get back up.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Who can't relate to that?
No, yeah, exactly.
It was great. And all his matches with Kenny, Brian, mm-hmm. just bangers.
Good stuff.
And
good stuff, Adam.
I always enjoy the little clips they put in his little... Lower third.
His lower third.
My favorite is still the press releases from Adam Page.
The press releases were
great. Are great.
The desk from the desk of Adam Page.
Those are great.
The Hangman Danielson 2-1 was great. Hasn't won a match this year.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's like the fourth.
Yeah. Genius.
Yeah.
Pure genius. And it's only Hangman they do that with.
Yeah. Great dad joke. So, but yeah, I mean, I would say keep going, but that's my number two as well as Hangman. Just the culmination. My whole thing is where, you know, where he falls next year is just going to be how it pans out now that he is champion.
Yeah. Like, where do you go?
Yeah. It's like where, because it was like, I mean, obviously you can address like the, you know, things like self-doubt and all that kind of stuff too.
And he's already beaten his first test, which is Bryan Danielson. Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. See if he either mends some of that relationship with like the Young Bucks, or if that kind of maybe that's the full thing where they kind of actually do value him for his friendship and not just because, you know, he was a low, you know.
I really wasn't watching ROH at the time.
Yeah.
Is there any history between him and Cole apart from just being part of the Bullet Club around the same time frame?
No, I mean,
did they ever have like any like matches together or anything like?
So, I mean, Adam Cole was part of the Kingdom.
Yep.
Back before it was like Taven and Vinny and them. Like, it used to be.
It was just Taven and Cole, right?
Taven and Cole Bennett? and Mike Bennett for a while. And Hangman, like, he had been, you know, he had done a couple things where, like, he was in a stable with, like, older vets, basically, and, like, kind of almost like a young lion dynamic.
Yeah.
I forget what it was called, but then, you know, became Hangman stuff, and I don't even know if they tagged a lot together when they were both in Bullet Club, because, like, Adam was, like, with the Bucks in the Trios thing.
Yeah.
They were the Hung Bucks. And, like, at that point, you know, Adam was, you know, he went from being ROH champion to not, to getting kicked out, to going to NXT. So, like, I think the time where they were.
And the stable was called Decade.
Okay.
It was BJ Whitmer, Adam Page, Roderick Strong, and Jimmy Jacobs.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so, like, I'm sure they've interacted. I'm sure they interacted probably.
Well, yeah, I couldn't think of anything storyline-wise. That, like, I didn't really start following Bullet Club until, like, until around the time Marty joined.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw the death of Adam Cole.
Yeah, you saw that fat fuck get killed.
Yep.
But, it's.
That was around the time I started watching Being Elite.
Yeah, so. And just seeing it from where he developed to now is.
So I just pulled up Cage Match.
Yeah.
Adam Cole and Adam Page had one match almost 10 years ago at ROH.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, they've been part of a tag team.
So that is one thing that you can have split even further with if you have Cole go for the title next.
Yeah.
Split loyalties with the Bucks, because the Bucks have some sort of rekindled respect for Adam now.
Yeah, especially with Kenny out of the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all Bullet Club, Bullet Club, Bullet Club. Then they had one match as a survival of the fittest elimination match, which had Cole, Page, Hansen, Seidel, Strong, and Ciampa. Then tag team, tag team, tag team, and then. The last match they had in ROH was Page versus Cole.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if there was any storyline or anything behind it.
Just a match.
It's just a match, it seems, because before that it was all.
Well, at that time, Cole was just kind of having matches.
Yeah.
Or Page was just having matches.
Yeah, because it was all Bullet Club before that. So there's your match facts.
Yeah.
Nice.
Brought to you by Cage Match.
That's why I asked.
Mm-hmm. So are we at the end of our list?
Number one. And
we all have the same number one?
I mean, we might.
I know last year and the year before we've all had the same number one.
Mine goes to one Mr. Omega.
That's where mine goes. The Bout Machine.
Yep.
I was going to go with R-Truth, but, you know, I will go with you guys.
I mean, actually, I will go you, with you, you guys. Wouldn't you know be what? Wrong.
Since we all have the same, I'm going to change
R-Truth got it last year, though. Yeah. They never
that 24-7 title was
so funny.
24-7, 360. Yeah, no.
365. But since we all have the same, I might change mine to Dan Lambert.
Yep.
That's my number one.
Yep.
No. No.
But no, the Mr. Bout Machine.
Yeah. The match with Danielson is just great.
Just Omega
and the fact that he was any match. So beat up, you know, throughout the entire year.
Yeah, and still putting on.
Yeah, and putting on great matches. You know.
The fact that he's supposedly been working hurt for months.
With his whole body, shoulder, back,
and legs. Just still just absolutely.
35-minute matches, 40-minute matches. Just
That's work ethic. That's just giving the people what they want.
The Bout Machine.
Get your rest, Kenny. Come back strong.
Yeah. Yeah. No, don't get too fucked up, please.
No.
Like banged up.
And we need that.
Yeah. Stop feeding the trolls on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's what the man does with Mr. Pepto-Bismol himself.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten through the list, and we've done it in surprisingly
under an hour.
Quick fashion.
We did it, everybody.
Compared to years past.
Yeah. Like, tangents.
Mm-hmm.
The first year, I think we did 10.
Yeah.
We probably did do 10.
We did 10 because we were both on A-Dub just started and we had WWE.
Yeah.
But now we pretty much watch
AEW. Yeah. It really is to the point where I'm just following particular wrestlers in WWE at this point. I don't
100%. Yeah.
I'm not 100%. Following the storylines, so you just take anything that we say with a grain of salt.
There are wrestlers I love at WWE, but unfortunately they just really haven't a whole lot to work with. I mean, you could give props to Big E for winning the championship. The problem 100%, is that title run wasn't what we wanted out of that run.
No.
You know, so it's like, do you give them credit for having a bad title run with Big E? No, Biggie deserves better than that.
100%.
Yeah.
And with Roman catching COVID and then putting Brock in the match, from the dirt sheets, from what I had read, that match, was the four-way, was supposed to go 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they put Brock in. It went 9.
That sounds about right for Brock.
Which is nuts. Like, you went from having two matches on the card with at the time, Reigns and Lesnar, plus a four-way for...
We're doing the showcase their title, skill sets and
with a 45-minute match. Then you know Reigns gets COVID, and then you replace that with Lesnar, and now your 45-minute match has now gone to 9
because you got to protect Brock,
and you've also lost an entire match on the card on top of giving away your 45-minute banger of a match.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean they consistently WWE has a lot of great talent. And
100%.
You can't discount people like, you know, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens.
No.
You know, they're talented people.
Yeah.
They need things to work with. And they consistently make something tangible out of nothing. And
Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
100%. And Sami Zayn, the same level.
Yeah. Like, just constantly, like, having, like, make something interesting out of just dog shit.
Mm. And what we had mentioned in the last podcast, chicken shit.
Yeah.
And making chicken salad and then making it into a full on chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what they've been doing. And we can't get that's why they're not in my top five, is because while I love those wrestlers and their talent, I can't vindicate what they've been doing with them. It's just not good stuff. Yeah. It's just,
they did just have Owens pin Priest.
Yep.
And they had mentioned that he's the only one to pin Priest in a singles match.
Ah.
Wow.
Since he's been on the main roster. And Priest has the U.S. title?
Yep.
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 So does that mean we're getting an Owens U.S. title run?
Sure, why not? It's like the U.S. title run really matters there.
Yeah.
Just get had it for a year. They have no matches with him.
I did see a clip, though, of Owens taking a little child's WWE title.
Yep.
It was on a house show. And I think it was the same thing. It was like a 3 or 4-way match.
Yep.
With the Big E and everyone else that was supposed to be in that pay-per-view. And The match ended and he grabbed the little kid's WWE title and was just taunting with it. Yeah. And then the ref goes over and takes the title back and gives it to the kid. But the fact that he took the title from this little kid and just was taunting with it like he won the match was priceless.
That's great.
Small elements. Like those guys are super talented and they just...
Yeah. I miss the commentating that
they deserve better.
In the match himself.
Yep.
When he had first came over from NXT, and no matter what he did in the match, he was commentating in the match, which was great. Yeah. He's like, oh, this is a headlock, guys. Oh, here comes the backdrop.
Yeah.
It was priceless. Like, I want that Kevin Owens back.
Yeah. And, he re-signed. So it's one of those things where, like, he's comfortable with the money, he's comfortable with the spot.
100%. I just hope they give him the spot.
Can make the product better, guys. Yeah. All you have to do is all you have to do is let your wrestlers and your talent be talented.
I feel so bad for Finn.
It's a weird mindset. You have to think of like when your goal is to do like when you make your goal.
Yeah.
And how do you realize it's not good for you?
Yeah.
You know, it's like. Like when you finally achieve the thing that you've wanted to do your whole life, and how do you get to a point where it's like, oh, that wasn't what I wanted? Because right now it is what he wants. It's not what the fans want for him.
Yeah. But you also have to think like he's.
But it could very well be what he wants.
Yeah. So he's like 37 or 38. Yeah. Now he is, like he's probably in that portion of his career where he's like he probably made decent money with New Japan. And working like the indies and stuff when he was younger, but like this is probably like his prime earning time, and he might just be okay with just making freaking money and just and
put over the young guys.
I mean, like and he still looks like a young guy and wrestles like a young guy, so it's like he's not slowing down or anything like that. But it's just like, hey, you've got a good spot, like.
I think the frustration level here is that
I think it's us yearning for those
AEW is here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Competition is here. They need to step up their game and they haven't.
Yeah.
It's the same like 2-3 guys
that
you always see. Mm-hmm. It isn't like a rotating.
We're going to see another Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, WrestleMania. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, the AEW with their ranking system, they only do the 5.
Yeah.
But once that number one loses, you don't see him.
Yeah.
Recycles.
They might get one rematch.
Yeah.
But it's not on like a pay-per-view. It's like on Dynamite 2 or 3 weeks later. And it's
what they call the title eliminator type thing. Whereas WWE, you have that match and then you see that
same. You have a pay-per-view that's a month away. It's going to be 50-50 booking.
Yeah. They hop potato those two losses back on, and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's no wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No wins at all.
I don't know. Yeah, it's not great.
I feel bad for Finn, just because I know what Finn can do when you give him the.
Yeah, I mean, even like his last NXT run, like
the Prince, that was great.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I don't know.
They've done, to give them credit, they have done some like little bit of like, oh, we'll give the fans a little cookie, like in terms of actually giving Big E a title run, actually having, Woods. Win King of the Ring.
Yeah.
But
at the same time, it's,
it's
then this should have happened years ago.
Yeah.
Now you're just kind of doing it to shut everyone up.
Yeah. Yeah. And even then it's like, okay, Big E won. He basically turned him into a transitional champ for Brock again.
Yeah.
Just like you did fucking Kofi.
Yep.
Oh, 100%. And he Kofi
wasn't a transitional champ, but like,
no, they gave him the run. The way
that they had him handed off to Brock
was ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, it made his run feel like nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you gave him almost 8-month, 9-month run.
Yep.
And had
him lose in 3 seconds.
Lose in 9 seconds.
Yep.
It was ridiculous. And then Brock ended up turning around and dropping it.
Yep. Yeah, so I don't know, but that's just me. So great job.
So New Year's resolution for WWE is you have competition now. Step up.
1,000%.
Stop just firing people.
I'm okay with them just firing people if they're not people that they're using.
Yeah.
But I want them to actually utilize the talent they're keeping around and use them better than they have.
Yeah.
Because I'm all fine. Like, if more and more people go out into the wrestling market, that leads to more and more wrestlers out there getting money.
Yeah.
At least for better product to compete with.
Yeah, it makes the indies better, makes Impact better in particular.
Yeah.
100%. Well, now you have...
AEW, I'm not sure how many of the more recent crop they'll pick up, because they're pretty crowded on their own right now.
Yeah, but you still have at least, not including AEW, because that is an actual... you know, competitor now with having two shows.
With the amount of people that are out in the wilderness right now, the one company that I'm kind of surprised isn't taking advantage of that has been New Japan. You know, for New Japan to actually...
Yeah.
I think it's just a disconnect between their management staff being in Japan, not be able to come over.
Probably. That's like the lockdown kind of COVID thing.
Yeah, but you could pick up a lot of this U.S. talent and just have that be part of your U.S. brand and get going.
The new Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even with, say, New Japan Strong and New Japan, you still have NWA, you have Impact, you have ROH, who is kind of on the outs, but kind of in.
Yeah.
You're not sure where they are. But then you have MLW, who has the networks and stuff now. Like, there's five or six other companies that you can easily go to compete with.
Yep.
Yeah.
At least be a wrestler. You know?
Yeah, and be someone on top where you are on the bottom and not being used type of thing.
If any, there's so many opportunities.
Big time.
So many opportunities.
Like, wrestling is the thing now. Like, Vince doesn't have a monopoly on.
Yep.
Yeah.
On the whole wrestling world itself.
Yep.
So good job, Tony, for opening that door.
Yeah.
Speaking of the door being kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
Any guesses of who walks through for the Rumble?
Cody Rhodes.
With the TNT title.
It wouldn't shock me.
I wouldn't be surprised if like somebody like Rhino showed up or like Tommy Dreamer or something like that, because they're in Impact, right?
Yeah.
Rhino is? I don't know about Dreamer.
Dreamer is still behind the scenes in Impact.
He's behind the scenes?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if you saw somebody like that just for like a name.
A name?
Name recognition, you know, pop the crowd type of
thing. I want to see Ultimo Dragon.
I loved Ultimo Dragon in WCW.
Yeah. Like with Mickey James, it's like she's got name recognition.
And the Impact title.
And the Impact title. So like that's that. But like I don't think you're going to see like Josh Alexander show up at the Rumble.
No.
You know,
no.
like, great worker, but. Does he have any history with
WWE? No, so no one's going to know exactly.
No, exactly.
There's no pop there.
Yeah, it'd be like,
you need, for the WWE crowd, you do need somebody that they're familiar with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be the older guys that have already crossed their barriers, whereas the women, I could see them pulling from outside just because they don't have much.
They kind of need to, yeah.
So I could see them pulling back somebody like, say, Deonna, because she was in NXT, or someone else like, there's talks of Melina and things like that. Whereas the men's side, if you pull in any other, you know, title holder from any other company that hasn't been through the doors yet, where in WWE, most of those fans aren't going to know who they are.
No, like the thing with like, I want to say like the last big surprise like that, especially with the Rumble, it was like AJ Styles. But people, like, even WWE themselves hyped it up as, like, is AJ Styles coming to WWE? Yeah,
they did a little work on it.
And, at that point, that was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, Impact and what it was at that point was, I mean, what, 26? Like, it was only, you know, 5 or 6 years since that kind of era of Impact and TNA ended.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Oh, when AJ left?
Yeah, when AJ left and when you still had that kind of, when they were still on like a network.
Yeah, they were on TNN at that time.
Or Spike or whatever.
Yeah,
or
Spike.
Sci-fi. Like, yeah. When they were still like on a basic cable and not just.
But they were still kind of relevant at that time with the roster. Whereas not now, but 2 years ago, you were kind of like, who's there?
Who the fuck are they?
Yeah. Like now it's like, what we like. I'm trying to think.
They've benefited
a
lot from the releases.
Yeah, they've benefited a lot from the ex WWE guys.
Oh, 100%
going there, but you know, it's,
what's that WWE and ROH?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about the whole ROH invading Impact thing. Now.
Yeah,
that's a thing.
Yeah, I texted you boys about that.
Yep,
we got
Kingdom and PCO.
Yeah.
except for they don't call them. I don't know what they even call themselves now, because originally Vinny turned on Taven and Bennett, whereas now he's back with
them.
Taven and Bennett.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on there. But they also have PCO, who signed with Impact.
I guess just another kind of like honorable mention, like even though he's not my favorite wrestler, but he's all over the place, is John Gresham. Like, I know he's quick. I really liked him when him and Jay Lethal were a tag team. But
Gresham running his own promotion now.
Yep. Yep.
Their next promotion, pay-per-view is February. Mm-hmm. And the main event is Gresham versus Santana.
Oh, yeah. And is he defending that as the ROH championship?
Yeah.
Cool. Because, yeah, like, you can definitely tell he's a guy who is...
They had a pretty decent really card, hard. Too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They had a ton of good talent.
I'll try and pull it up real quick. But, yeah, they had a pretty stacked card.
Yeah. That was just one thing where I was like, oh, if we're talking about ROH, like, I know the company isn't really a thing anymore, but he kind of...
But everyone still kind of treats it as...
Yeah.
As a thing.
Yeah. He kind of carried the company the last like year and a half, I feel like, between the Pure Championship and that. So.
Yeah, his company is Terminus.
Mm-hmm.
So on that card, it was Lee Moriarty and Josh Woods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had Daniel Garcia, Adam Priest, Invictus Cash, and JDX, where I don't really know. Of Garcia, but they had Bennett and Moose, Diamante, Jordan Grace and Kiera Hogan, Bandito and Baron Black,
all right,
Dante Caballero, Joe Keys, Fred Yeehy, and Tracy Williams. I haven't heard any of those guys. Have you?
I know Tracy Williams.
Oh. That's the big guy, right?
Was it Fred Yeehy? Yeah.
And then it was the world title with Josh Alexander and Gresham.
Yeah.
And that ended in a double pin.
Yeah.
So he had a pretty stacked card for his first.
Yeah. That's a good mix of like Impact and ROH and some PWG. Like,
well, the lower card of A-Dub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Good for him.
Kind of a little of everything.
Yeah. A little bit of everything.
That show, yeah.
Yeah. So. All
right. It's an interesting world out there right now.
Yeah.
Interesting
to see where it goes. We want to cover anything else? I mean, or do we want to wait till next time to talk about the failure?
We can always seed what we're going to talk about next time, I guess.
I mean, I'd say we
plant the seed.
Plant the seed. I think by the next time we'll probably be leading up to the week of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So probably talk about the
footballs.
The Pats year in recap. What could go better for next season? what went right? What went wrong? I guess then probably who we're betting on then for Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I lost big money this week in the wild card.
Mm-hmm. I should have done a couple parlays because it went the way I thought it was going to go. So.
I did some parlays, and I had just gone on the outs of all the parlays. Like, I missed it by, like,
a little bit.
Were you doing just, like, money lines on them, or were you doing, like, same-game parlays?
I was doing same-game. Just not the money line, but the over-unders I was doing. So I missed it all by just, like, little tiny points.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
You guys should catch up and watch Peacemaker if you haven't yet.
It's on the Plex, right. So I might.
It is very funny. And you do have to watch Suicide Squad first if you haven't watched that yet.
No, I watched that, yeah.
Yeah, watch Suicide Squad.
I watched Suicide Squad.
Yeah, because it references some things in that. But
okay.
But yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's been my surprise. I shouldn't be surprised, but because James Gunn is very talented.
And Cena just oozes charisma.
He's been way better than I expected him to be in terms of
Yeah.
Like, he's been funny in a lot of other movies, but, like, this one gives his character a little more depth than the movie did. And
awesome.
Comedic timing is just funny. And the breakout is his partner, Vigilante.
Okay.
Super funny.
Yeah. Nice. Is he on that level of Kite Man?
not quite the same kind of
character.
Think about more sadistic.
No, no, but like that same level of like, it's just a random character, but you love him kind of thing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. I, wife and I started a Yellowstone over the weekend. And
how was that?
It's St. Elliot.
No, so that's
the 1883.
That's the prequel. That's the prequel to it. Is 1883. I guess basically, like, so we
Yellowstone's Costner, though, right?
Yellowstone is Costner, and it's Costner and Luke Grimes, and who's the other big one in it? Cole Hauser, and I like it. It's written by the guy who played the straight laced cop in Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, okay.
The one who gets, I think he gets killed in like the second or third season. He gets
the older guy.
No, no, no. So not Unger. So not the one, not the crooked one who's like their friend throughout the show. Okay. The one who like, who was going to go replace Unger. Mm-hmm. But then I think at the beginning of like season three.
Doesn't he die in the shootout?
Yeah, he gets run over. He gets run over in the shootout and killed. He is like the writer for it. And it's basically like, it's kind of like Sons of Anarchy without the
motorcycles.
Without the motorcycle, like it's basically all about like, you know, like the changing of like, you know, like you've got Costner's family who basically runs like the biggest horse ranch in the Midwest, and it's right up against you know, like Yellowstone National Park, and then there's a Native American reserve that they abut as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then there's like, you know, like land developers trying to like, you know, so it's like all a different like power play and, you know, them trying to fight the times and change. And all that kind of stuff.
It's on my list. I haven't had the full on trigger pull yet.
Yeah. Their portion, like I like it. It's funny though. Like one of the main characters, Luke Grimes character, he's like the youngest, very, you know, parallels to kind of like the,
Jax Teller
type where he was the badass or whatever, but he actually kind of, you know, gets kind of straight laced.
That's on my list.
But him and his wife, like, I like them both as actors. I like their scenes apart from one another. Their scenes together are just some of the most like cringeworthy, like cowboy, like, you know, like
bad country music playing in the background.
Yeah, Cassie and I are like, ugh, like, nice. Ugh.
Love you.
You guys are just the worst. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, I love you more.
There's a scene where they have relations, like they're like, so they set up a summer camp out, like just on their land to watch like some of the cattle during what's it called? And the two of them just so happen to be out in the middle of the forest or like the range or whatever, and they decide to, you know, like, let's just have relations just in the middle.
Fuck this bear out here, who cares?
But like, well, yeah, well, that's the thing. They're a couple, you know, they're getting into it, and then like they look up, bears. And there's a fucking coyote.
Oh.
And he's coyotes.
Coyote's like, continue your business.
He's like, oh, you want to watch? Well, I'm a fucking kill you next time I see you. So like, enjoy it. Like, I'm not kidding. Like,
That's redneck as hell.
I'm like,
Jesus.
That's these colors don't run redneck.
It's funny. Like, it has its good parts and its bad parts. But like, yeah, like,
yowza.
I absolutely love.
It's a guy who wears shirt, like guns on his shirt, redneck.
Come
and get some.
What's his name though? Cole Hauser's character is great. His character Rip. He's like kind of like the head of the operations and stuff. He's like He's the head of the bunkhouse. He takes, you know, all the wranglers. Like, he's like the head of all the wranglers and stuff like that. And it's funny. All right. So, it's just funny how they go from like legitimate business to like.
No, God.
Oh, what were you pointing at?
No, I was do a segue as soon as you're done.
Oh, yeah, no. To like, we're going to murder people. Like, it escalates really quickly. So,
country.
But yeah, it's pretty funny. It's good. And it's only like four seasons in. So.
For something completely different.
Yeah.
Can Microsoft save Activision Blizzard?
Oh. Yeah, I saw that.
I hope so.
I mean, yeah. That, like, if we got if we just got it, so like they go and they're like, they do, like they take Call of Duty and they give the Halo treatment. It's like, all right, Halo multiplayer is going to be free and you don't have to buy a new, what's it called, every year. And it's just free with Warzone.
Can they save them from themselves?
I think so.
There's a lot of companies that kind of like need saving from themselves.
Oh
yeah,
they absolutely do. The interesting, like, the thing that throws into mind here is, okay, so now Microsoft owns Diablo. They own World of Warcraft.
They own Overwatch.
Overwatch.
They own Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
They own Crash Bandicoot.
Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk.
Candy Crush.
You laugh at that, but yeah.
That's money for them.
Yeah.
Money.
They own a lot.
Yeah.
Now
and a lot of big money stuff too.
And with how well they've done with Game Pass over the last year,
yeah,
it wouldn't shock me to see them go like, "Oh, hey, World of Warcraft. Guess what? It's on Game Pass now. Go download it."
Yeah, $25 a month.
Just include Game Pass.
Yeah.
Just be like, here it is. Game Pass.
Not only do you have access to World of Warcraft now,
you have Game Pass.
You've got Game Pass.
Yep.
You've got access to all of these PC games.
So whatever subscription you have, if you're on Blizzard, you got Game Pass if you subscribe, or like, you know, that's going to be interesting to see them, see if they can save some of those brands.
Yeah.
I love Warcraft. I adore Warcraft. And over the last 3 years, Blizzard has been like taking a slow knife to my heart with Warcraft.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh, everything the company is doing is terrible. Mm-hmm. Oh, the storyline's getting really bad.
Yeah.
It's like,
here you go.
Oh, it's, man. Like,
Dan, does that mean we're going to start playing Final Fantasy 14?
No.
I heard Realm Reborn is amazing. Like, it's an amazing game.
I hear it's a great game.
You will never get sucked into an MMO.
Not like another Final Fantasy MMO, anyway.
Yeah.
I played 11.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of sitting around in the desert waiting for group.
Yeah.
Because I chose the wrong class to play.
Shiza. I want to continue this, but I have to piss real bad.
Well, I mean, we
could just go.
Yeah, no. I mean, we can also. I mean, the camera's probably going to die.
I'm right here.
Yeah. just go into the can. Yeah. But yeah, no, my interest is then like, okay, what do you do for like A, then how much stuff is going to continue to be on PlayStation consoles? I mean, there's going to be a degree.
There's going to be a level of cross-play involved there.
Yeah, like they said with like the Bethesda deal, like you're probably still going to get, you know, Fallout or Skyrim.
Yeah,
like Elder Scrolls, whatever. But then, like, what are they going to keep to themselves? Like, are we going to get, like...
This is a huge chunk of this now.
Yeah, I'm like, are we going to get, you know,
there's
Call of Duty, but are we going to get Call of Duty 6 months after?
The question here is, how does Sony retaliate? Does Sony go out and go, okay, we're picking up Capcom and Konami and...
I saw that, because somebody...
Because those are companies that are relatively financial trouble.
Jeff Keighley went and posted, basically... like the lineup of other studios that are still like bigger studios that are still independent. And like the biggest one is EA, obviously. Yeah. But like the bottom three, it was like Capcom, Sega and Konami. And they were both under like 10 billion each. So I'm like,
Sony could easily not
like it. Not saying that I want,
and that would save Konami, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, it would save Konami, but like not to say that like I like, my console of choice for a Capcom game is Sega, or is
what's interesting
is PlayStation,
here though,
if
is
not.
You're seeing even more fractured, like you have Western development teams and you have Japanese development teams already.
Yeah.
And it's always been a difference between like the culture and the dynamics of how those teams function.
Yeah.
But now they're like almost split by console, where it's like you have like a lot of those companies working with Sony in Japan, and not so much with Xbox, and now you have a lot of companies in the U.S. and Canada that are now just on Xbox.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that kind of, like, worries me is if you were to go, if Sony was to go and, like, let's say, buy Capcom, and then they go, okay, we're going to put out, oh, I have, what's it called, upstairs, but, yeah.
Well, if you don't want to travel.
Yeah, I'll try one. Like, yes, I think it would be great that they could then just focus on one console and you know the game, well, like that's the, real good. The development cycle on games would probably be shorter, mm-hmm. Except for the fact that Sony's been like, okay, now we're gonna start bringing all of our games to PC,
which is
with
awesome.
Like, with like God of War and stuff it. Now.
Did I miss anything on the Sony? Because I know PlayStation Now and PlayStation Plus, from what it looks like, they're trying to combine.
Yeah, what I'm saying is how is Sony gonna like with so much back. With Microsoft owning so much of the development, and especially in the West. How are they going to retaliate? Are they going to pick up companies like Capcom or Konami? They're still independent. You know?
Quick break. This one's really good.
Orange is really good too.
Yeah. Citrus soda basically tastes like a Sprite, but with a little bit of like a candy aftertaste.
You remember? This is like Sunkist.
We'll take a quick break to plug Bud Light seltzers. For any time that we can take an option to say, look, guys, you can send us a bag of money.
Drink
just,
this.
Just give us a bag of money. I know I'm drinking PBR right now. Yeah. I will gladly switch that if you hand us a bag of money.
Yeah.
Even free samples.
Yeah. The end of this.
We can be easily bought.
You know bottle caps candies?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. End of it tastes like a bottle cap. Ooh. And I love bottle caps.
Yeah. Same with the orange. I think the only real bad one is the classic cola.
Oh, yeah. Also the PBR. That's out there for you guys. I know you guys fired your Twitter guy over the last week.
Pepper?
I'm looking for new jobs. No, just kidding.
I'm always open for that.
I know
kind
I
of
am.
Role too.
So if you need anything, you let me know.
Yeah. I to be honest, I think the tribalism is a bad thing.
It can be.
My concern is they go, let's say Sony buys Capcom. Let's say Capcom goes and does, okay, we're going to do Mega Man Legends 3, or we're going to do Resident Evil 9 or whatever. And not saying Resident Evil 9 is going to be a surefire hit no matter what. But let's say they go and go, okay, we're going to make Mega Man Legends 3, or we're going to make Onimusha 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
And it sells like, hot dog water.
You're immediately limiting your audience.
You're immediately limiting your audience, and you're immediately limiting the chances for a sequel or a continuation of the game, of the series. Because if it doesn't sell well,
I rethink everything you just did.
They're going to go, okay, that didn't work the way we wanted it to.
And then you end up in the situation with Konami is, which is basically that we have all these IP that we don't know how to deal with anymore because they don't sell the way they used to.
Yeah.
Which
is bullshit.
Despite being iconic IP.
Yeah, because another Metal Gear game is going to sell like, madduckets.com.
Well, but I mean, at some point you just don't want to, deal with everything that goes along with a Metal Gear game.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised it lasted as long as it did.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I don't want to see that because I do still want to see games on multiple consoles. I do want to see games, getting ported to PC in good PC ports and not shit ports like we've had in the past.
Cross-platform,
cross-platform competitive, isn't, a huge thing for me.
Well, the problem with that is a lot of the cross-platform is fine so long as it's not forced. When it's forced, that's when you run into an issue of PC players having a major advantage.
Yeah, but, I would like to be able to, I'd be able to sit on my couch, be on my PC, for a couple hours, play, the Avengers game for a couple hours. Yeah. Close it out. It uploads my save to the cloud.
Pick up where you left off.
And then I come down here. I pop open my PS5. I download my save.
And boom, it's there.
And I'm playing with people on PS5 and people on PC. That would be great.
That's a game that lends itself to that sort of thing.
Yeah.
A game like Call of Duty, unfortunately, is not.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're playing cross-platform for people, or a game like Overwatch in particular, just not. If you're doing a cross-platform on Overwatch... and that's not going to work because PC players have a major advantage on it.
Yeah, but something like Avengers or Destiny or those kind of games where it's community and not competitive community, but the community itself kind of is what drives it and keeps it, fresh.
Yeah, it doesn't break the game.
Yeah. It's why you don't see a, an MMO on a console really last.
Yeah.
Unless
that's just not really made for that kind of workspace. There's only so many buttons.
Yeah. Well, there were times where I played DC Universe Online when it was
I tried that.
Like
the free PS3 version that they gave out.
The general portion of MMOs is you have a very small sweet spot between complexity and execution.
Yeah.
And if you can
play school and
like there's a level of like easy to play, hard to master involved there. And the hard to master usually involves a lot more tools that you don't have access to if you're using a controller.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the issue there. So you can be easy to play and that's fine for like, I would give the example of, if you played Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
That's very easy to play with a controller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're trying to get the most out of it, however, you do need to break out your mouse and keyboard because a lot of things that you're going to use only in certain examples, like certain situations,
yeah,
start there.
And I feel like even like a game like Elder Scrolls Online, like I only hear about it when a new like patch or expansion is coming out.
Yeah.
And even then, like it's like, okay, like it's people are excited for it, but then, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But that's going to be my curiosity point for the next group session that we have here is, can Microsoft save Activision Blizzard from itself?
That's the hope.
I hope so.
That's the hope.
I hope so, too. Things like this have not always gone the right way, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, think about it, you know, 15 years ago when EA started buying up a bunch of different developers, and think of how many iconic developers we don't have anymore because of them.
Well, I think the funniest part about it is a lot of people online have already been like, ha-ha, Bobby Kotick's already leaving. Like, he's going to be ousted as CEO once the merger takes place.
Like, are you sure about that?
No, he's already agreed to
it. Oh, okay.
He's stated that he will abdicate once the merger is complete.
Oh, no. Really rich man is still really rich man.
He's
going
to get a giant fucking golden parachute.
Yeah.
If you didn't see how much the stock price for Activision Blizzard went up upon the acquisition... Yeah. That guy made so much money just from that.
Yeah.
Like, evil always wins here, folks.
Sony took a huge hit. Sony took like a $20 billion hit or something like that. So like,
evil always wins here, folks. That this is America. Mm-hmm. Evil always wins.
Evil.
So, yeah. I still want to see what, I know to tie it back to like wrestling and stuff, but like, I still want to see more of the AEW game. Like, I want to see
Agreed. I've been kind of quiet about it the last 6 months.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Like, I think the last big thing we saw was the Darby drop. So, like, if it's chugging along and it's like, oh, hey, we need another, you know.
That's THQ, right?
Yeah, that's THQ in Zooks, too. So, like the guy, like, you know what they're, or Ukes, not Zooks, sorry. They know what they're doing.
I know what you meant.
Well, but like, if that's like a fall next year type of thing,
yeah,
like, well,
that's going to compete with 2K22.
2K22 is supposed to come out in like 2 months.
Yeah,
and I don't think I've seen a single thing.
I don't think it's going to come out in 2 months. I think it's going to be the same thing as it's going to be like October, like normal.
Yeah. Well, they straight up skipped the last one.
Oh, 100%.
They skipped 2K21. So
because 19 was just a joke.
All right, guys, we got the bark. We should wrap it up.
Yeah.
Markety bark.
Tessie's like, that's it, guys. You're done. So
roof, roof.
All right, so we'll see you next time. And, guys, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for your opinions.
Thanks for joining.
Thanks for nothing.
With a little teaser.
Skirt, skirt.
So.
And we'll see you around the block.
Yep.
Later. Tactics.